So how much has a pandemic affected us? A week or so, I went, Colleen and myself, we went to Alberta a little bit to visit family and to do a little shopping. And we stopped in Calgary first and stopped at Bass Pro Shop, the holy grail of hunting and fishing. If you've never been in it, you need to go in it. It's an experience. Even if you don't hunt or fish, it's an experience to be in that type of a store. And it was connected to the Iron Cross Mall. And so after a couple hours, we made it to the mall. We started to go through the mall. It was early in the morning. It was probably 11 before lunch. And the mall was relatively slow. Not a lot of people, a few people running around here. Most stores were open by then. And so we started going in and out of stores. And about an hour or so later, I remember coming out of one of the stores, and the mall was packed. And right away, stopped. Poosh, we're not used to this. What is going on? Like, I looked around, there's one or two people wearing masks. I thought, okay, that's good, I don't have to. But it was the amount of people that were in the mall that just made me stop, because we've been so ingrained that we got to keep our space. You got to stay in 6 feet apart. And we stopped at for a coffee. We couldn't even find the table. The tables were so full of people, lineups at all the counters. And you had to work your way through a crowd to get a coffee. And we stopped at one store, and there was a barricade up, and they were actually limiting people that were in the store. And so we went to the barricade thinking, well, someone will come along and say, and she says, oh, sorry, the lineup's in the middle of the aisle there. And I turn around, there had to be 30 to 40 people that wanted in the store, all standing 6 inches apart. And right away in your mind's thinking again, 6 inches, 6 inches. And I guess 6 inches, 6 feet's got to be pretty close in Alberta. But we've been so programmed to think differently that it just sort of stops us in our tracks with what was going on. And right after that, we stopped and visited Rhonda and Randy and had a great visit with them. But as we're going up the driveway, the thoughts come into mind. Do I wear a mask? Do I not wear a mask? Do I shake hands? Do I fist pump? Do I pull out my noodle to make sure I'm 6 feet apart? And the brain's going 1,000 miles an hour, trying to think of all the things. You know, well, how do we get in? Are we comfortable? Are we not comfortable? About halfway up the stairs, Rhonda and Randy open the door. We hug them and we go in. But the pandemic has really changed the way we think, the way we respond to people, the way we respond to things. And I think this morning, if we could not allow the pandemic to stress us out, try to relax, try to be comfortable around it, try to be comfortable around other people, whether they're wearing a mask or no mask, whether they have their shot or don't have their shot, whether they like me or don't like me, doesn't matter. God has called us to love one another. And let's just reach out to people. Yeah. Let's love one another, and don't let the stress get you. I'm not one that stresses a lot. I'm not one that stresses a lot, but at times I got almost stressed. So anyways, that was a short sermon. Has nothing to do with this morning's messages. Trust you'll take it to heart. The other thing that we have now, too, is I know we really cut back on our channels at home. And I think we only have one channel to Colleen's Delight. It's 361, if you got satellite. Or not satellite, optic TV. It's The Outdoorsman. It's 24 hours of hunting and fishing. I'm not sure if the word delight there in Colleen's vocabulary, but one of the shows on there is called Relentless Pursuit. And it's mainly about deer hunting. These guys hunt a lot of deers all over the place. And they always tell their story of their hunting. As they're going through the hunt, they also talk about their story and how they got to this point. And for a lot of them, some of these guys, after they shot their deer, they said, I've been hunting this deer for 4 years. And I'm thinking, whoa. And as they're telling their story also, they don't only hunt during hunting season. They have cameras set up all year round where they're watching these deer, so watching where they're coming and going from and identifying which horns that they have identified their deer. And they've set their pursuit on such a... They're so intent on getting this one deer. They've spent years hunting it. And this morning, question is, what do we pursue? What's utmost in your mind? What's the most important thing in your life that you pursue? Is it fame, fortune, family, your job, music, games on your phone? What consumes our time and our energy? As Christians, we're called to pursue the holiness of God. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. It says, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. 1 Peter 1, 13 and 16 says, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As an obedient child, do not conform to evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who has called you is holy, be holy in all you do. And it's written also in Leviticus chapter 11, verse 45. It says, be holy as I am holy. God's talking to the Israelite people there. I was going to this morning wear my holy jeans so that at least I looked a little bit holy, but I'll give you my holy clothes. Just so we know what holiness looks like. But the Hebrew word for holy literally means separate, to set apart. And when we're talking about God's holiness, we're talking about the absolute purity, a person that is unstained by sin or evil. He is perfect in every way and perfectly good all the time. To be holy is to be distinct and separate in a class by oneself. R.C. Sproul puts it this way. He says, the primary meaning of holy is to separate. Comes from an ancient word meaning to cut or to separate. Perhaps even more accurate would be the phrase, a cut above something. He says, it's like when we get a garment and that's a step above everything else, a better material, better looking, and everything else. He says, we class that as it's a cut above, just a cut above. And this means that the one who is holy is uniquely holy, with no rivals, no competition. To be holy is also to be morally pure. God's wisdom and his omniscience puts him in a place where he always knows what is right, and he always does what is right. He is incapable of doing any wrong. How often do we struggle with, we know what is right, we know what we should be doing, and yet we don't always do it. God never finds himself in this predicament. He always does what is just. He always does what is right. And God's holiness is perfect freedom from all evil. 1 John 1 verse 5 says, God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. John is saying that God's absolutely free from any moral evil, and he is the essence of moral purity. To be holy is also more than to being just morally pure. We find in Exodus chapter 3, we have the story of Moses and the burning bush. Moses ran into this bush that was burning. He was intrigued by it. And I know all of us, well, assuming all of us anyways, are intrigued by the burning bush, or a fire, sorry, I would be intrigued by a burning bush too, but we're intrigued by fire. I remember as a young kid traveling through the prairies, and there seemed to be a lot more back then, maybe I was just younger and picked them out a lot more, but in Alberta, a lot of their plants, they have these large stacks with flames burning all the time. And I can remember as a young kid always being intrigued and watching these things as I was driving through. And for me, it was probably the fire, but it was also that they had these massive things running all the time. Just on a side note, Nathan worked in a gas plant, so when I was there, I noticed his stack again, so we got talking a little bit about it. It burns all the time. What they are is they basically burn off the sour gas from their plants, gas that will kill you very quickly if you end up breathing it. So they separate the good gas from the bad, burn off the old, and then the natural gas you burn in your house is clean. But he was saying, you should have been here, he said, 2 months ago. He said, about 2 months ago, somebody opened the wrong valve, dumped all the bad gas into the good gas and mixed it. So now he said we had to get rid of all this sour gas. We couldn't use it anymore. So he says, send it off to the pipe. And I guess they sent some newer guy out, and they said, oh, go open the valve, let it drain off into the pipe. And Nathan said, he was on the job that night, and he said, all of a sudden, the ground started to shake. And he said, he started looking around, he looked up at the flame, he said, now all of a sudden this 20-foot flame, what's usually burning there, he said, now it's 200 feet high above that stack. He said it was like day and everything shaking. I guess the young kid opened the valve all the way and just dumped all the fuel right into it. So it lit it up and he said it sounded like a rocket taking off. But we're intrigued by fire. And Moses here was also, I don't know if it was the fire that intrigued him or the fact that that bush never went out. And it says, as he began to approach the fire, he heard God's voice from the fire and say, take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground. God is so pure, his holiness is so pure, that it is impossible for man to approach God. It is dangerous for him to approach God. Even throughout the Old Testament, God dwelt in the Holy of Holies, and the priests were the only ones that were allowed to go in there and stand before God. And they had to go through, they had to be somewhat morally pure. They went through many rituals that they had to perform just so that they would be pure enough that they could go into the Holy of Holies. And if they hadn't done that, odds are they would have passed away just being in the presence of God in his holiness. 1 Peter 1:5-15 says, be holy in all that you do. And Habakkuk says, your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong. God can never overlook or excuse our sin. God is, and unfortunately, we as people like to rate sin. That sin's not quite as bad as that sin. God will, you know, God will let me go on that one. But God can't. God is impossible to be able to choose to allow, to be able to rate sin. His holiness does not allow him to make decisions based on who we are, what we're like, how holy we look. But he is pure in everything in which he does. He is pure. I remember in grade 11, and that might be another sign of old age, is that I remember what happened years ago, but can't remember what happened last week. But grade 11, I remember metalwork. I went into the shop at the end of the year, and the teacher asked, he said, Len, what do you think you deserve as a mark? Don't want to sound too arrogant, so I said, a B. And his comment to me was, he says, I like you. I'm going to give you an A. And I, at the time, you know, you never really think anything of it and go on. But when it comes to God and us, God can never make that decision on whether he likes me or doesn't like me, how I look on Sunday, how I don't look on Sunday. God is pure. God judges. His judgments are based on his standard and how he governs and by who he is. God's holiness is also manifested in Jesus Christ. Examples in the Old Testament from the visions that Isaiah and Ezekiel had, it talked about God just being in God's presence, making the things that were impure, making them pure. And we see the same as Jesus Christ when he came into this world as flesh. Anything that came into contact with him, anything that he had done, everything from all of his miracles to healing the blind, raising the dead, casting out demons, whatever, just showed God's power over our world and the things in it. All he had to do was come in contact with. God's holiness is a powerful force that must be treated with utmost respect. God's holiness is a gift that can heal a broken world. How are we doing this morning? We're all matching up, right? We're all feeling really good about being holy, as God has called us to be holy. In our pursuit of holiness, remember that if Christ is in you, you've already been declared holy through Jesus Christ. His shed blood, he came into contact with you. He's already declared you as holy before him. You could stand in God's presence because of that. So in our pursuit of holiness, it was at our conversion that we were been declared holy by God. In our pursuit of holiness, our pursuit is not to find a state of holiness. Our pursuit is to improve the state that we're already in, to grow closer to God, to grow closer to God. And God has not called us to be holy like the people around us. Take our church, for example. Who's the most holy person in our church? Sorry. We as people tend to look around us and adapt to the group that we're in. And if this group is at this standard, that's sort of where we adapt to and we follow people around us. God has not called us to that. God has called us to be holy like he is holy. We've been called to be like him. And so holiness is nothing less than a conformity to God's character. Mark 7, verse 18 and 23, Jesus said, do you not see whatever goes into a person? We got a different thing? Oh, no, there we are. Sorry. So I want to make sure we're reading from the same place. I'll read up there just in case I have something wrong. Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into the heart, but into the stomach, and then out of the body. In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He also said when comes out of a person is what comes out of a person, defiles a person. For from within, out of the heart of man come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, greed, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within. And Jesus clarifies that it's not what we've eaten or touched. It's what comes from within us. Where are our pursuits? What are we pursuing? And how do we pursue in today's age holiness? So we look around us. Our world has changed rapidly over the last several years. I never dreamed that we'd be in the place we are today years ago. You've seen such how much the world has changed and so many of its standards and beliefs and what they allow and don't allow. But a couple thoughts, just things that we need to sort of get into practice and challenge ourselves with. We need to take our sin seriously and call it sin. Don't rate it. Sin is sin. God looks at sin as being sin. Those are the things that we need to change our thoughts on. Move on from there. We need to confess our sin to God and others. So this morning we're going to start in the back row there, and if you want to stand up and confess. Oh, no. No, not in public, not on Facebook. We need to confess our sins to God. If you have people you could confide with and talk with, those are the people you need to talk with so that they could work with you and pray with you and work these things through. We need to strive to do what is right in God's eyes and obey His word, not to do what is right in our own eyes, which our culture teaches today. Say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. Pursue holiness over happiness. And today it's all about feeling good. Do what's right. If it feels good to you, just do it. And what is the end result of that? The world mocks those who pursue purity and flaunts their sexuality. Titus 2, 11 and 12, it says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live a self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age." We are God's children. He has chosen us. He has adopted us into His family. We are set apart for His glory. Let's give our lives completely to Him and to serve Him. Lay down your old ways of living, things the way you did in the past, and let us pursue holiness in our life. Make a habit of it, and it'll become nature. It'll become normal to us. I'm going to ask the music team if they'll come up at this point. And this morning, if you struggle with your convictions, I'll give you another little encouragement to help you along your way. Hang around with some five-year-olds. I know that a few weeks ago I was playing a game with a couple of the twins. It was Claire and Luke, and 5 years old. And I must have said the S word, because right away, almost in unison, they both pipe up and say, "Grandma, Grandpa said a bad word. He said stupid." And so I thought, be careful what you say around kids. But the kids will help you if you know it. Quite often, they're so open and free just to share, "Hey, you said something you shouldn't say." And so let me encourage you tonight, or this morning, as we pursue holiness, let us pursue what God has called us to. Let us look to God and just seek Him. Amen. This morning, I leave that with you. Let's just pray as we close. Father, we thank You for this life that You've given us. Father, as impure as we are, Father, with the sinful nature that we have, You still loved us. You still adopted us into Your family. You still made us whole. You still made us pure. I pray that You help each one of us just to pursue Your holiness, Father, in life. Help us to become more like You every day. Help us to be light to this world. Father, I just pray that You encourage each one of us. And this we ask in Your wonderful name. Amen.